Okay, so very narrow topic today, I think, but it touches on broader issues. And that is going back to this confusing sugya on Kuf Chaf Vav. So if you remember, let's just remind ourselves where we were. In the third of the sugyas that we had examined, or at least, you know, in terms of order of the Gemara, as to the exact nature of the Arusha of the Bechor. So again, we had Rav Asi held, Amar Rav Asi, Bechor, Shenot Al-Chele Kepashut, Vidya. That if a Bechor takes a portion like a non-Bechor, like a regular child, he is Mivater. And the Gemara asked, my Viter, right? We talked about this yesterday, what is, why Viter rather than Mochel, right? What does that tell us? Is it a right? Is it a ownership in potential? You can turn on the air conditioning if you'd like. You can open the windows. Masha, yeah, this room. Somehow, when neither the window is open nor the air conditioning on, it does become a little bit of an oven. Because, I don't know, because the sun just bakes us through the windows. Yeah. So the Gemara says, my Viter, what is Viter? Rav Papu Mishmedi Rav Amar Viter Botasadeh. Rava said he only gave up his rights to a double portion in the field, which is currently being divided. Rav Papi Mishmedi Rav Amar Viter B'chol Nechazim Kulan. And Rav Papi had said he gave up his rights to double portion of any of the property. Rav Papa Mishmedi Rav Amar Viter Botasadeh. Why does Rav Papa say that he only gives up rights in that field? Because he holds that Bechor has no rights or no ownership, and that's what we spent the last 3 days talking about, before the division of the property, and therefore when he tries to give up his rights in the rest of the field, he doesn't have the hold yet to actually do that. You need to have a hold to then waive it. Rav Papi argues and he says that's not true. He gives up his rights to a double portion in the entirety of the field. He does have a hold, and if he waived his rights in one, he waived his rights in everything, yes.
Once the father dies.
Yes, once the father dies. Well, according to Kedos, not necessarily. Right, he can do it even before. Now, I will note that yesterday we made the point that the Gemara is framed with Viter, and Viter might support a view like the Ran against the Yad Ramah, which focuses more on ownership and potential rather than mere rights. However, it is worth noting that Rav Papi, when he explains why he waives his rights and everything, switches from the word Viter to Achulei Ochel, which is Mochel. Right? So it could be that, in fact, his position is predicated on the notion that it's only rights, because a right he does have from death, and therefore he needs to waive it, not give it up, but waive, right? I mean, not, right, the more passive of the formulations. And then the Gemara had said, "V'hadir apapi v'rapapa la b'feirush itmar ela michlala itmar." This wasn't said explicitly, it was derived implicitly. Though b'chor da'azal lavin zich nichzei didei udi pashut, because there was a b'chor who had sold his property and that of the other brothers, azal Yatme bin Epashut, Lamechal Tamre, Mehanu Lukucho, Machtinu, Amalu Krovam, Lomistaya, Didazavintu, Linechose, Elamimche, Nami, Machitilahu, Atulu de Rav, Lakame de Rav, Amarlo, Asavilo Klum. So remind me what happened since we read this Mara. Remind me what happened. What was the story? The Bechor went and he sold the property. Then what happened, Rami? Yes. Yes. So what happened? You are holding an art scroll in your hand. Worst comes to worst, you. Correct. They start beating them, and they say, "Woohoo!" And they say, "Not only did you take our property, but you're beating us up." And Rava says, "Well, also, Loklum, you're right. The brother, the Bechor, in fact, had no right to sell the land." Mar, and the question is, Mar Sabar Loasar Klum Bepalga, does that mean he didn't do anything in half of the property? Umar Sabar Bechulhu, and the other says he didn't do it in any of it. Okay? And Shalchum Stam, Bechor Shemachar, Kodem, Chazukah, Lo Asa, Lo Klum, and Eretz Yisrael, these are the same thing. Alma Inlo Bechor, Kodem, Chazukah, which tells you that the Bechor has no right in the field before the division of the property. But we pass him not that way. Okay. Now, what we're going to focus on the question is, what, when we say he has no right in half, he couldn't have sold half, which half do we mean? Right?
For the book. Unless you create
let's see what happens here.
Wait,
let's just get the facts on the ground then. Okay, let's get the facts down. That's what we're going to talk about. Okay. So what does Rashbam say? Rashbam says, let's start with the Rashbam. Rashbam says, lo asa klum bipalga. If the Bechor sells at the time of death, he had no rights in half of it. Which half does he think? Bechelek? Bechelek? No. Rashbam says, Bechelek, first Rashbam on Chuchavav, the second Rashbam on Chuchavav of that, lo asa Klum, Bipalga, Bechelek, Shitato. What's Shitato? His normal sonhood. Hashud. The non-Bechor side of it. Call Shigain, Bechelek, Hashud, Achiv. And obviously he has no right in his brother's property. Right? Because remember he stole multiple. He definitely wasn't allowed to do that. Avo Bechelek, Bechora, Yapemachar. But his Bechora, he was allowed to say, Diyeshlo, the Bechor, Kodem, Chalukah. Because the Bechor does have rights before. Okay? Now, that's the, before we get too much in it, turn back to Chuchavav and Aleph, and you'll see how the Rashbam is relatively consistent in terms of how he understands this. So you have to look at Bechor Shenatal Chelek. No, you know what? We don't need that one. Go to Kesavar Ein Lo LeBechor. Yeah? Like 10 lines from the bottom, 12 lines from the bottom. Right? Kesavar Ein Lo Bechor, Chelek Bechora, Lo Latet, Velo Limkor, Kodem Chalukah. The person who says they have no right means in his Bechora side. Kedichtiv Latet Lo Ad Adya Liade. Because the reason is it needs to be in his hands. Dibikabel matana, just like the one who gets a gift. Hilka haisa sodesh shebal yado, chelko mimena, v'haya lo zchut bo chelik bechora, dashat chalukahu, v'krim v'latit lo. Hilka motzi mochil. V'shar nechazim lo motzi mochil, dein lo magne davar shelo ba le'olam. Da'ad shat chalukah lo zochi bo. Right, so he says that even though at some level you might have thought that the Bechor has rights because it's a matana, you definitely know he doesn't have rights to the Chelek HaPashut. Why not? Because the Chelek HaPashut is Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. Now, I will point out that Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam sometimes means something which you don't yet own, and sometimes means something which does not yet exist. In this case, obviously, it means something which you do not yet own. Because the regular Yerushim, when do they come to own the property? Only at division. Good. So this is according to the position of Ein Lo LeBechor. So he says, "Da'atarach Lo Zachi V'Kol Shechem Mechelik Pshitut." The Lo Zachi Godem Chalukah Shlo Over Chelko. He says, if even the Bechor Pashut, which is that unique definition of a gift, you don't own until you get it. So for sure the Chelek HaPshitut, where you don't own it until you divide the estate. Miu imei kodem chalukah, lo shna b'chor v'lo shna pashut, b'no yorei shemachit, b'no chelek avir, But he does clarify that you do have some hold in it. How does he know I have a hold in it? Because if Avram dies and Yitzhak, right, and then Yishmael and Yitzhak both die before the property is divided, then their respective children will inherit. So it can't be that you have no hold. You do have a hold, you just don't have a full hold because it hasn't been divided. Right? And he gets into the whole grandchildren thing. Fine. Next, Rashbam. Yezul b'chor kodim chalukah. But what if you hold that the b'chor does have rights? The af agav the chelek pashut ein lo, even though he has no rights to his, that which is his, insofar as he is a regular son, daktiv lotet mishat, because when it comes to Bechor, we call it Latet. And therefore, the Matana of Bechor does come to him at death. Hilchach b'Bechor talya milta. To b'shat sheyirtze yizkeh b'chelko. Whenever he wants it, he can get it. Because I mean, le'el b'chor shemicha micha. As we saw above, all it takes for the Bechor to do is to stake his rights. And therefore he has the right to waive his hold whenever he wants. Because it is considered extant. It already exists. It's already in his property. And we are witnesses to the fact that if he waived his rights in this field, he waived it in all of them. He can also waive his rights. Okay? So therefore the Rashbam says, that which is more likely that he's able to, so the way the Rashbam reads this thing is, which is easier for him to give up rights in? Bechor. Because Bechor, the Chelek Bechora is unique. It's a matana. And therefore, that arguably means that he has rights starting at death. And he reads the sugya on the top of Kol Chovav this way also, which is, how do I know that he has rights from death? Because all it takes for him to start getting property is to protest, is to stake out his rights, and that's all that he needs. As opposed to the Chelek HaPashut, that you definitely don't have any rights in until
division.
And therefore, the only machloket is how unique is Bechor. Is it really totally unique? Is it wholly unique? And therefore, we treat it as a matana, and therefore he has full rights in it from the time of death, right? Or not. But everybody agrees that the chelek hapashut
is difficult to shed. Early, you can't add actually.
He has no rights to, and therefore he can't give up rights, he can't sell, right? So what he holds, and everybody agrees, the chelek habachor is more likely to be in his hands earlier. That itself is the machloket, is it a full matana or maybe something less, meaning either not a matana at all or a quasi-matana. It's not clear that he totally rejects the notion that it's a matana within that position. But everyone agrees with the chelek hapashut, that part of the property which you only get as a son, as a regular son, he only gets later with a division. Right, Gavi?
Yes.
Who doesn't like this? Good, what does Tosa say?
That,
first he says, no. He quotes the Kuntres. Now, usually who does the Kuntres refer to?
Rashi.
The Kuntres doesn't mean Rashi. What does Kuntres mean? In this case, it means Rashbam. What does it mean? What does the word mean?
The text and pamphlets here.
Yes. Right? In the pamphlets. So often that's Rashi, some of the Rashbam. The point is, in that thing that's blowing around, right, with the commentary, is what it says. So perish be kuntres, a kuntres bechelek pshitado, bechol shekein bechelek pshiturachin. And what it says to say? Okay, Rashbam says yes, Tosa says no. He says no. Ve'ein yireh, techelek pshitado, pshita demachar. It's punktverkehr. It's the exact opposite, which is
so
he can. Not only is it not unlike Tosfot, unlike Rashbam, is it more obvious that he can give away his Bechor? He said, no, the opposite is true. It's not just the Bechor, which is more obvious, it's the exact opposite. It's that the Bechor is the one in question, and everything else is obviously able to sell. Right? Obviously able to sell.
So the division isn't
why? Now, there's obvious evidence for this notion that the Bechor, that the Kashrut, rather, has a hold from the time of death, and that is, what sugya very much pushes in the direction that a heir has rights from the time of death, meaning has a stronger hold on the property than a Bechor. What's the key raya, Ellie? Right, what's the key raya that a regular son has a stronger hold rather than a weaker hold on the property than the Bechor?
You're asking about, not about the Bechor,
the non-Bechor. Right, what's the evidence that non-Bechors have a stronger hold on their property than a Bechor does on his? What do they get at death? Meaning, how do I know that they seem to get it at death? Because of Shevach. Because they're getting Kuchav Dalit of Shevach. Because they do get any profit that accrues after death, even if the Bechor doesn't. Right? The Tosfos says, "Ma pitom, why are you telling me that the Bechor has more rights?" Right? The simple pshat in Kuchav Dalit is that the Pashut has more rights. The regular Yerusha is from death, and Bechor is later. Right? So why is he flipping it? I mean, this is the whole stira we've been dealing with ad kan, right? We've been dealing with this constantly, which is why in Kuchav Dalit does it sound like Bechor has less and later rights, and in Kuchav Vav it sounds like he has earlier, stronger rights. The Tarsud is very motivated by the sugya like that in Kuchav Dalit and says, what are you talking about? If you have a Havamina that he's allowed to sell, the Havamina must be like this, that everyone holds he can sell the Pashut. Ela, near Edlo, also below Klum, the Palga, Hainu Bechelet Pshitut Achin. What's the half that doesn't work? The half of the sale that he sold on behalf of his brothers, because had no right to sell his brothers. Right, so he has a very weird read. Meaning, Rashbam has at least an easier read in terms of what the word half means. The word half means, this is a trick. This is a very hard question. According to Rashbam, what does the word half mean in our sugya?
Oh, the Bechor.
No. The word half. What does the word half mean?
Pashut.
No, just literally the word.
Oh,
half. Half, like 50%. That's not what it means for Tosfos, right?
But
no, right? Meaning, Rashbam says half means half. Right? Then he says, which half? And he says, the half that he sold is Bechor. The half he didn't sell, Pashut, because Bechor he might have rights to at death, and the Pashut, he only has rights at division. Tosa says, no. Everybody agrees, meaning both Shittos, both the first position and the second position, hold what?
That
you can sell.
But Bechor, seemingly, you can't.
But you can't sell Bechor, and therefore, according to the one who says, Palga, but what's the problem? According to Tosfot, according to him, everybody agrees that you can sell the Chelek HaPashut, right? So then what in God's name does the Gemara mean when it says it doesn't work half or it doesn't work whole? He says half and whole mean nothing here, right? They don't mean what you think at all. Everybody agrees, not even on the table, is Pashut, his Pashut. Everyone agrees he can sell it. So what does it mean when you say he can sell half? And what does it mean when he can't sell half? If everyone agrees he can sell half, right? Meaning if everyone agrees according to those that you can sell half, then what does it mean you can't sell half? So he says it's not talking about him. The Shita of Palga holds he sold his Pshitut and his Bechora. What it means he didn't sell half is he didn't sell the portion that belonged to the other brothers, which may be half. If he has two brothers, then it's half,
yeah.
Right? Because he gets, right? But if he has one brother, it shouldn't say palga, palag. It doesn't mean half here, it means a piece. right? And therefore it means he sold two-thirds and not one-third. If he has, right, if he has five brothers, then it means that he sold two-sixths, meaning one-third, and not four-sixths, not two-thirds, right? So Tozer says everyone agrees he can sell the pshitut. So let's say there are four brothers, or there are three brothers, right? That's what we're saying, six, right? No, four brothers to six, right? Because he gets double. Right, fifth. I skipped you. Let's say there are four brothers, so now it's fifth. Good, better, fine. Then, according to Tosfos, saying that it works palga and doesn't work palga means that he sold
40%.
And if when you say he sold, it didn't work at all, that means it did work 20%, but it didn't work 80%. Because his chelek ha-pashut is not even on the table. Everyone agrees that his chelek ha-pashut he can sell from the moment of death. According to him, everyone agrees he can sell at least 20%, and everyone agrees he can't sell the 60% that doesn't belong to him. The only question is the 20% of Bechor. And when we say half, only half works, that means everything that belongs to him works, and everything that belongs to his brothers doesn't. Whether that's half, 60%, 100, 90%, doesn't matter, right? And the...
Isn't this just effectively saying, I don't steal?
Yes, basically. And, I mean, not just don't steal, but yet you don't have the legal authority to sell because it would be theft, as a more precise formulation. But, right, so palga for him doesn't mean half, right? Lo klum, when you say nothing works, it means only the pashut worked. And if you say that half of it worked, it means everything he tried to do worked on his own property and not his brother's. The problem is obviously, as Rami notes, which is, wait a second, so you're telling me that according to the line of the Gemara that half of it worked, when it's really just saying that don't sell that which does not belong to you. That's the chiddush of the Gemara, right? Palga means don't sell that which doesn't belong to you, but you can sell anything that belongs to you. And v'lo klum means even some of the things, but not all of them. When it says nothing works, it means only some of that which you wanted to do didn't work, right? That is a terrible grammatic, right? Linguistically, that is an atrocious read of the Gemara. But that's what he says, right? V'lo chel v'shu churachin achtema. Now, who asked Rami's question? The second half of Tosfot, where Tosfot said, I mean, that's a very nice read, but that's also really weird because you had to tell me that you're not allowed to sell things that don't belong to you. Really? Yay! Earth-shattering chiddush there, that you can't sell something that belongs to you, right? He says, not be dumb. I knew you can't sell something that doesn't belong to you. So Tosfot, in the second half of Tosfot, in fact, asks exactly what Rami asked, which is linguistically, this seems bizarre, because lo klum means nothing, not 20% that you can sell, I mean, not your chet. And palga doesn't seem to mean sell everything that's yours, but nothing that doesn't belong to other people. That's a literary problem. And a halachic problem is really, you have a whole sugya to tell me you can't sell that which belongs to somebody else. That's really not a chiddush. I know I'm not allowed to sell something that belongs to someone else. This has nothing to do with the chelik ha-pashut, chelik b'chor, chelik anything. Right? Everyone understands you don't belong that, you don't own that which belongs to your brothers. You also have to, yes, you have to reconstructure the word you just made up. Yes. Restructure or reconstruct, but not reconstructure.
Just to make a point that's, like, irrelevant, okay?
Yes, exactly. Right, so this is the obvious problem. But, despite the linguistic problem and the conceptual problem, what drove Tosfot? Let's go to the conceptual understanding of Rashbam and Tosfot. Why is Tosfot so convinced that this has to be pshat, despite the fact that it doesn't work in Misvara, nor does it work in the words, right? Why?
So, I mean, I assume that, like, he takes issue with the idea that you can't sell your...
He takes issue with the idea that you can't sell the chelek ha-pashut. Yeah. Why? Because...
I guess Tosfot told that the division makes for 100.
So he, well, one second, is because what? He, because he knows that, let's say in the case of Sheva, in the case of the profits that accrue to the property,
yes,
it definitely does, it definitely is owned by who?
The
brothers, right, the sons. And therefore he says, how can you tell me that you don't own any property until division?
Classification of corporate recognition of
all corporate. Very good. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, look, I know how we can defend the Rashbam. I know how we can defend the Rashbam. I have an idea. I know how to solve both problems, which is both explain why it is that you start accruing profits from the moment of death, and nevertheless, the Rashbam can say, but an individual brother has zero rights to sell the property because he has no rights to division. Mappitomi doesn't have rights to division. He's making money. Right? He's making money. So how can you tell me that he doesn't have rights? So this is why I wanted to do this, because the answer is Rami's favorite sugya in all of Shas, apparently. Woohoo! That Rashbam is based on this beautiful conceptual model. Right? Okay, good. First, before we look at it, someone remind me who Rav Elchanan Wasserman is, when does he live? 19th, 20th century, very good. He learns a little bit by Reb Chaim, he learns a little bit by the Chafetz Chaim, right? He hates YU.
Oh, he
has a letter in Kovetsurim about how he doesn't like YU.
What was it, like,
yeah, that one. That's him. That guy.
Yeah.
But he has a letter, a formal letter, where he talks in his Tshuva about why he doesn't like secular studies, he doesn't like da-da-da, blah, blah, blah.
The school that he said was like...
Look, it's not... Turn it down.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Look, my favorite anti-YU Tshuva is in the Ber Moshe. It's a wonderful Tshuva.
Who are the Ber Moshe?
The Debrecin of Heva. That's it. And he has a tshuva about where he says you can't quote people from YU's Torah because then people, Rachmana Litzlan, realize that they know Torah. And if people realize they know Torah, that'll lead them astray. Because then they'll follow them because they must, right? Because now they'll think that they have something to say because they know Torah. But no, clearly they don't. It's a very, very bizarre, very bizarre line of argumentation there. They know Torah, don't let anybody know that, because then they might listen to what they have to say. Yeah, fine. Okay, so let's look at two pieces here in Rav Elchanan. First, just a clarifying one. This is what I gave you in top, where he just says, B'chor Shem Micha. Micha, let's go back to that. Why does protesting help? Here's Rashbam. Mishum diyesh l'bechor kol d'b'chalukah mishat shechaved l'sko. Because the bechor has rights from when he wants to take the property. Hilkat v'chazim d'idei ashbechu. And therefore, he started to profit. L'fizeh lo'kasha ma'chik shuv tosud helchata helchata. So then, wait a second, doesn't this contradict the Gemara in Kol Chav Dalet? Yes, as we've talked about. The yesh b'chor kol d'b'chalukah, da mishat mita, v'im ken yevshah l'fayet k'ver Rashbam, da micho micho, yesh b'chor kol d'b'chalukah. So therefore, if you don't want to take this, you have to explain alternatively. What it means that the Bechor has rights earlier is simply that he has the right to demand that you give the property before you divide up the rest of the property. Right, this is what I said yesterday. Remember I said yesterday that a very technical way of getting out of a lot of these problems is to say that Micha is just negotiating rights?
Yeah.
Right? That is from Rav Elchanan, where he says, if you think the Bechor really has no rights before, what he has a right is that he can demand that you give him his property, so why does he get double? Not because he has rights in it, but because it's a negotiating strategy. If you choose not to give me that which I can demand from you, then the reason I don't have it is because you're being derelict, and therefore, in return, the alternative is that you pay me as if you'd already given it to me. Right? You pay me what it accrues, because at this moment, if you had given it to me, I would have gotten the profits. You chose not to, so now you have to pay me for that. And he said, according to this, you don't even have to say he really has any rights in it before Chalukah. He just has the right to demand his property. That's all he has. But that's enough. Meaning, he doesn't have a ownership right in it yet. It's just that he has the right to demand that you give him what will be his upon division, and not wait for the rest of Chalukah. And that's all he needs to say, if you don't give it to me, it's your fault that I'm not making profit, and therefore you have to pay me the profit. That's all he needs, right? So that's the technical point that I made yesterday. Fine. But skip now to Taf Dalid. Taf Dalid is where Rav Elchanan tries to defend the Rashbam. All I know is I saw you do like this when you looked at your phone. So either Rav Elchanan is really exciting you or something else is really exciting you.
Well,
it's
equal.
What?
And both are very good.
Rav Elchanan and what?
And
whatever's going on there, Rav Elchanan, because I sent you in the WhatsApp, so you know you could pretend it. So you could have said, yes, it's Rav Elchanan, woo, I love Rav Elchanan. Yeah, I figured that wasn't it, but you know, but it's okay, fine. Yeah, Rami's very excited for it. Okay, so now let's read it. So he says, Tashma, Vamashaka, the Rajbam, the Chelek Pshitut, Lukulay Alma, Eno Yocholim Kord, Ein Lo, Kodem Chaluka, Vrayato, Niremi Dagar, Loss of Lokum, Bichulo. He said, the Rajbam says that everyone agrees he can't sell the Chelek Pshitut. What's his proof? Because the Gemara says 50% for nothing. Nothing sounds like nothing. Right? Meaning, Tosfos is very weird, because he has to assume that nothing means something. Right? This is a problem, right? Something means, right? This is very...
Yeah,
Ayin Shabbat Tosfos, Jenichu B'teim Elefishi Dazam, Vilecha Ora Ein Amuvan, so I don't get it. Dibish Lama B'bechor De'in Lo Kodem Chaluka Anechot, De'in L'Sharachim Kodem Chaluka. He said, I don't get it. The Bechor... If you hold, he doesn't get it until Chalukah, then that means until the property is divided, who is the owner of the property? The brothers. Aval b'pashut, he said, what's driving Tosfos? Tosfos' logic goes like this. A regular son, inema de'ein lo kodem Chalukah, if you hold that a regular brother doesn't have rights until division, what's Tosfos' problem? I will point out, Rav Elchanan is a pleasure to read, because Rav Elchanan taught basically high school, right? Reshiva Ketana. And this is a record of the shiurim he gave, right, to his high school students, essentially, in Baranovich. So, right, these are meant to be accessible. So he's very clear, and he very rarely quotes Rishonim more than Rashi and Tosfos, maybe Rambam, right? Because he's teaching basic methodology, right? It's basic logic. It's very, very clear. Rav Elchanan is very, very clear. So he says, right, the obvious problem according to Tosfos is if the brothers don't own it, then who does? We're building up. Rami's so excited. Who's it? Hare ein an hefker. They're clearly not ownerless. Va'al karcha hein shela kol ha'yorshin. And therefore, they must be owned by the heirs. And if they're owned by the heirs, then how can you say they don't own them? So what is the Rashbam thinking? And so Rav Elchanan says, the answer is that the machlokas Rashbam and Tosfos is how do you conceptualize the estate? Do you conceptualize it as a corporate personhood? And therefore, it belongs to this thing called the estate, which is not any of the brothers, it is the estate. Right? The estate.
But,
No. The estate. The brothers all together, meaning the sum is greater than its parts. Meaning just because the estate is made up of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, etc., it's not made up of them. It's made up of the corporate entity called Bnei Yisrael. Not like the Jewish people, but the sons of Israel, literally, right? It is the sons of Israel incorporated, right? And they are not there. Just like in a modern corporation. In a modern corporation, let's say in 10 years from now, Eli decides that he's going to start a company.
Yes.
And it is wildly successful. He's decided to start a cryptocurrency company. Dogs have already been taken, so what are you doing? Unless you have another idea for a company. Crypto is, I can come up with anything I want. Yeah? What's your company, Eli?
So it's this smoothie shop, but wait, hear me out. I'm going to check the fruit are little faces. So like there'll be a blueberry with a little face, and there'll be a little...
Are you just trying to create a color orange?
No.
Okay, Eli has a smoothie company in which the fruit are in shapes of faces to make people happy.
Aren't your own smoothies supposed to be like fun business?
They are. So you manage... Oh, so it's disturbing. Meaning it's not that you leave a few fruit floating, it's that you want to make a smoothie be murderous, right? So you put little smiley faces and then crush them. Okay, fine, Yala. This appeals to the smoothie-loving but sadistic crowd. It's a very narrow, very narrow. What?
There's a strong correlation between smoothie lovers and...
Fine. Okay. So, very exciting, Eli. So Eli is the CEO of this multi-million dollar corporation. And now, he decides that this is so big, he incorporates. Right? Eli, you've incorporated your company now. Right? You've made it a corporation. So now, let's say the corporation borrows money from the bank to fund the next 20 stores that he's setting up of his smoothie thing. And then they cannot, shockingly, it doesn't go over as well as you thought it would have, and the company goes bankrupt. How much of the money can they collect from you, according to American law?
Zero.
Because even though Eli is the owner of this company, right, even if he hasn't gone public, once he's incorporated, he is not the company. The company has its own identity. It is, what name did we name your company?
Sadistic Smoothie.
There we go. Yeah. Sadistic, it has a ring to it there. So that's what corporations, that's what being incorporated means, is that the owners no longer are, the owners are no longer the
liable
for, right, meaning they work for the corporation, they are directors of the corporation, but the corporation is its own thing. They don't have personal liability because the corporation has its own personhood.
Why does every small shop corporation there's certain obligations.
Yeah, I don't know exactly all the rules of corporations in America.
It takes away all the rest.
Yes.
All of it.
It takes away a lot of the rest. That's a lot of problems that people have.
You can talk with the people. I think that's also like really conservative economics.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one of the problems. This is, you know, Nassim Taleb wrote a very angry book about how his problem with a lot of people who work in business because of things like this. Not only this, but because people's money isn't necessarily invested, and even if it is, they don't necessarily lose, right? Called skin in the game. You're right. Corporations can take out skin in the game. There are things that are done to prevent that, such as one of the reasons that CEOs are often paid partially or even majority in shares is so then they do have skin in the game. Because they may not be personally liable, but if it goes bankrupt, they lose the value of their stocks. And that's why companies, right, that's why so many companies like to pay their employees, right? Part of their package is stocks. Because you're right, if a CEO was just like a manager and he had no shares, right, so then worse comes to worse, the company goes bankrupt, he had his salary, he finds a new job. Right? That's why, that it's exactly to deal with that problem that so many companies like giving, like stock options.
For owners, it's like, they can't go
No, but if you are, right, if you are Nagid, right, Jeff Bezos, and his salary is like $1 a year or something like that, and you're mostly played in stock options, right, if Amazon were to go bust, right, his value would go from $180 billion to not $180 billion, right, to significantly less. I assume that's not happening because Amazon is closer to taking over the world than it is going background, but you know, you never know.
A lot of like CEOs are giving certain financial benefits that are not actually their paycheck, but like by the company. And so,
look, they're also you can also tie their salary to success of the company. You can do all types of things, but fundamentally, yes. What creating a corporation means is it splits between the theoretical entity called the corporation and the person. And there's a huge machloket in halakha whether we recognize it. Would you like the tricks, Chaim? We have tricks we can offer you that day. There you go. Yalla. So, and there's a big machlokes in halacha whether halacha recognizes the idea of corporations or not. This was a big machlokes. Corporations, not whether we have certain models in halacha that are corporate entities, but whether we accept the modern idea of a corporation. The Rugged Shavar famously wrote a tshuva that he said we do. Many other poskim think that that's not true, that we actually do view, and this is a lot of nafkaminas. The Minchas Yitzchak is a long tshuva going through a lot of the nafkaminas, like, can you lend money or borrow money to or from a corporation with interest? Is a corporation Jewish? What about a majority-owned Jewish company, or even a minority-owned Jewish company? Can it own Chametz on Pesach? Can it work on Shabbos? Right, all those types of things. Yes. And you have types of middle positions, like halacha recognizes a corporation if you are a minority shareholder, but if you're a majority shareholder, then, or even a critical decision-making shareholder, even if not majority, then halacha does recognize it, right? Meaning if you own one share of Amazon, big deal. But if you're Jeff Bezos, even if you only own, whatever it is, 10%, 10% or whatever it is. Right. Still, he's still, what he says matters.
Yes,
he owns 10% of Amazon and he's still worth $180 billion. Yes, I know. Oh my God is right. Yes. Yes. I'm going to say old, but I remember when Amazon only sold books. I am old enough to remember when it was so exciting that you could buy books without going to the bookstore.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. It was when I still had dial-up, okay? You know, in the Stone Age. Yes. Dial-up was the most annoying thing in the world. Yes, I got it. Fine. So he says, but he thinks that this is a machlokas. The nira kavanah Rashbam lafiyam muvar b'choret nunvav. The din tusat abayit chiluk midin shutafin linin maser beima. He said, the proof is the sugyan b'choret, which I didn't give you because I just wanted to keep you on the page. But the Gemara there deals with the following question. In the context of maser beima, you are patur, I'm giving maser, right, there are certain exemptions in maser behema that apply to shutfen, but don't apply to yorshin. And the answer, and the Gemara says why, because the Gemara comes up with this concept called tfusat habayit, which basically translates as the estate, the people who hold onto the house, right? And what he argues is, the din tfusat habayit chiluk midin shutfen. Tfusat habayit, in a state, is not the same as a partnership. Le'inyan maser behema. Uver achiluku, the difference is, dibishutvin kol echad me'ashvutin hi ba'alim al chelek. By partnership, each of you owns part of the property. Utfusat habayit hevei ba'alim echad. But the estate is a single ownership. Kmo dvarim ashechen letzibor, like things that belong to the community as a whole. Umatin linyan karbanot, Just like in Karbanot, there's two separate categories. Karban Shutfin, a Karban which is brought by two partners, by Yaakov and Rami, the Karban Sibur, and that which is brought, like the Tamid, which is brought by the community. Vidinehem Chalukin, their halakot are different. Example, De'ok Yeshna B'tzibur, B'shutfin Ve'ena B'tzibur, such as, bird offerings can be brought by partners, cannot be brought by the community. There is no communal bird offering.
So the bird offerings will be like this cheap
offering? Often, yes. V'hainu b'davar sheshut tafut yesh l'chevet b'ilim rabim. When there's a partnership, there are multiple owners. As opposed to cases in halacha, such as the estate, or the tzibur, where it's not partnership, it is a corporate ownership. Utzibur hu b'ilim echad, the community is an ownership. V'hocha nami b'tusat habayit. And here too, by the tusat habayit, by the estate, hanechasim shayachin lechlal aler shirshin biyachad, v'lo lekol echad b'fnei atzmo, it is owned by the estate, not by the heirs individually. Umishum hachi kol echad yachol dimkor, ein yachol dimkor, elem kenim karenu kulan biyachad. And that's why, according to Rashbam, nobody can sell without the full permission of all who hold the estate. The Rashbam shall shita a Rashbam. The Rashbam said, the Rashbam said against the Rashbam, how can you say that an individual child, the son, cannot sell his portion? In a partnership, if Rami and Yaakov go into business together and Yaakov says, I'm selling out, Yaakov has every right to do that. So the Rashbam says, why can't the heirs sell out? Lufi mashekata avnu nira, and he said the answer based on what we said is dibishutfen moder Rashbam. You're right. The Rashbam would agree by partners that you're allowed to sell out. Velo nechlak ela betfusat abayit. He only argues about the estate. The chaluk midin shutafut. It is not the same. V'Rashi parashat Korachi v'shamar Moshe yodea nishish chelek v'ktoret tzibur lo tochal ha'ish chelkan. He said, however, this idea that even a tzibur is a corporate entity, right? Because he said, that according to him, what's the classic corporate entity in halacha? The tzibur. He says, the problem is that from Rashi, it doesn't sound like he even agrees to that. Why? So he quotes Rashi in parashat Korach, who says that Moshe davened that the portion that the Adat Korah had in the Ketoret of the Tzibur should not count for them, and the fire shouldn't eat it. What does that sound like? The Gam's Karban Tzibur, that even in a Tzibur, it's a partnership and not a corporation. V'tzarach Iyun, in Ken, in Chiluk, being Tzibur, the Karban Shut, but he said, according to that explanation, a Karban Tzibur should basically be a Karban Hashukfin, a partnership rather than a corporate entity. Uvehemet kinyar dan Ramban, and he says the Ramban seems to in fact think that parshat Vayikra dan mechta yeshlan din shukfin ruve yisham nekre tzibor. Although that Rashi, okay, but he says the Ramban does think that Rashi himself contradicts himself, etc. So he says that even by tzibor, which at first glance you would say if ever there was a corporate entity, it would be the tzibor. He says even there, Ramban doesn't seem to agree with that because he starts dealing with questions of rove, right? Majority, and Rashi doesn't seem to hold that, at least in one place. But whatever you think about Tzibur, and that's a sugya in and of itself, right? Whether it has a corporate entity or it's a corporate entity or not, right? He says, but bringing it back to our sugya, he says the Rashbam clearly holds that the estate is a corporate entity, and that's why even though, yes, it's true that the brothers all own it, and therefore it's not ownerless at that time, and yet it is accruing profit. But the reason that an individual brother can't sell is because he doesn't own it at all. It's not a partnership. It's a corporate ownership of the estate. However, he says, why, according to Tosfot, wouldn't you say that? Right? Why does Tosfot and Rashba clearly disagree with this and treat it like that you can sell it? because they think it's more like a shutfin. They don't think it's an estate, right? They don't think the estate is an entity, rather. They think that the estate is just another way of saying that which all the brothers own in partnership. Right now, obviously what Rav Elchanan opens for us is the question of, wait a second, aren't there other places in Shas, like the case he brings from Maaser Behema, which indicate that
there is a
corporate entity, you're right. And this is the problem, so you have to flesh it out. But just locally, right, what he notes is that this machlokes seems to hang on the question, right, between Rashbam and Tosfos, seems to hang on the question of whether to view the estate as a corporate entity or not. However, he notes that it's particularly hard to hold a corporate entity if you hold of the principle of Breira. What's Breira? And this is why I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole, right? Breira is retroactive clarification. Meaning, Yesh Breira means that if something exists in potential, once you actualize the potential, it is legally recognized from the original moment. And therefore, here, what Yesh Breira would mean is, since in potential each brother owned property in the estate, once they take their property retroactively, it is clear that that was their property from the beginning. Right? So he says, if you hold Yesh Breira, that does seem to undermine the possibility of corporate ownership, because since once the brothers take their portion of the property, it will be retroactively recognized. Because then according to that, it's not that until division he doesn't own it, it's until division you don't yet know retroactively what he owns. And according to that, there shouldn't be a difference between an estate and a mere partnership. But what he highlights is that the simplest way of understanding this machlokes is along this line, right? Is that the Rashbam takes the position that it's a full corporate entity, and therefore, even though it's true that the brothers, as in the sense of the estate, inherit as soon as the father dies, and that's why it starts accruing sheva, when it comes to being able to sell, they have no rights because as long as it hasn't been divided, it belongs to this theoretical entity called the estate. No brother can assert rights unless the corporation as a whole decides to sell. Right? And that's why, according to Rashbam, the Bechor has rights earlier because everyone else owns qua a corporation. He's the only one with personal rights. Right? However, Tosfot holds the opposite because Tosfot, like the Rashbam, seems to hold that this is just a shutfut, and if it's just a shutfut, the fact that brothers are going to get it later, and in the meantime are accruing profit, what does that prove? That they have personal ownership from the beginning, because this is just a partnership, and that's why he thinks it's obvious that you can sell the chilek ha-pashut. It's only the bechor that you might not be able to. Good? So this is Rav Elchanan pointing out that it seems to be, and again, to fully understand the sugya, we have to say, well, how, if Tosfot really denies the notion of corporate entity for Yerusha, why does it seem to be explicitly what drives the sugya in Bechorot about Tusad Abayit? Right, so obviously we're not going through everything. Right now I wanted to at least open the sugya to you because since Rami loves this so much and we're already in the sugya, it's the easiest way, and the shortest way really of highlighting it, how it works in our sugya. And I will point out just the last point is if you want to read it, I sent it to you. I'm not going to read it for you inside, but the formulation that we had of the Ketzot yesterday, right, namely that when the Bechor is Mochel, it's not that he's Mochel the property, that he's Mochel his status as Bechor. That formulation is the formulation as found here in Rav Elchanan, right? That interpretation of the Ketzot, right? That formulation is his, right? That it's misalik asmo bidin bechor. That mechila of bechor is not really mechila on property, but is a vacating the status of bechor. And then he gets into some of the problems of how to deal with some issues that might arise from the Ketzot's understanding. Okay, fine. So let's stop there.